Okay, if you'd like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John, we're going to read a fairly long passage this evening. So we're going to read John 11. Now it's 1 to 44, but we will be skipping some of the verses as we go. So tonight's message is called, "It Isn't Over Till Jesus Says It's Over, / Lazarus." We're going to start reading chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." And when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, "Let us go unto Judea again." Then down to verse 11. "These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." Verse 17. "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was at that place where Martha met him. The Jews, when they were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with her, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have they laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaned in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. That's the reading that we will do this evening. Now, this account is a really remarkable event. But I think after many years of hearing and reading of the account, we've lost the awe, we've lost the significance of this event. Let me put it this way, if we were to read or hear in the media that a man was brought back to life after being dead 4 days, we'd be astonished. If we were to read that or to hear that, we would be astonished. But when we read it in the scriptures, because we've heard it so many times, it sort of just passes over. This is a significant event. Martha said, he stinketh. That's a very interesting way of saying that his body had begun the natural decaying process and was starting to break down. And so now we have this man. He's been dead for 4 days. The climate over there is probably a lot more humid than it is here in Bendigo. And by now his body is breaking down and it says he stinks, he smells. You will notice that those expressing comments said, if only Jesus had been here, Lazarus would still be alive. So it's interesting to note that Jesus could have stopped Lazarus from dying, according to these people, but could he bring him back to life after he'd been in the tomb for 4 days? In verse 21, Martha said, if thou hast been here. In verse 32, Mary said, if thou hadst been here. And in verse 37, some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? And so the general opinion around the place is, if Jesus had only been there, then Lazarus would not have died. So what are they saying? They're saying that he has the power, he has the authority to cause someone not to die. That's interesting. Martha said, he's been 4 days in the grave and he's not coming back to life. Mary said, he's been 4 days and he's not coming back to life. The people said, it's been 4 days and he's not coming back to life. I think if we were to do a straw poll around the place, around the medical field, they would all agree after 4 days, he's not coming back to life. So why did Jesus wait 4 days? Why didn't he just run down, as it were, the minute he heard that Lazarus was sick and save his friend. Why did he wait 4 days? Well, the answer is because it isn't over till Jesus says it's over. That's the topic of tonight's message. It isn't over till Jesus says it's over. Verse 4 says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So we can see that there's a hidden agenda here. Jesus deliberately waited until this body couldn't be resurrected or couldn't be brought back to life. He just wanted to do the impossible. He wanted to bring back to life a really dead person. He wanted to demonstrate his power and his authority over death. And I'm very thankful that he did. I trust we're all very thankful that he did demonstrate his power and his authority over death. Just to make it clear, it isn't over till Jesus says it's over. To us in the church or in a Bible church, these accounts to us are not only possible, but they're a done deal. We've been taught in Sunday school, we've been taught in a youth group or in adult fellowship or in church services that the Bible is correct, that all of the accounts in there are correct. Not only are they correct, that they did happen or they will happen in the future. And so for us, this situation is so plausible that it tends to lose its significance. If we were to do a survey around the place about the Bible and about this account of Lazarus being brought back to life, very, very few people would have even heard of it. Somebody was dead for 4 days and was brought back to life. And I'm fairly confident that none of the neighbours in this street would even know that. They wouldn't even know that. And those that perhaps do know about it would probably offer some sort of excuse. Well, maybe he wasn't dead. He was just in a coma and they wrapped him up and they put him in by mistake and he really wasn't dead. And Jesus just, when they opened the tomb, the air came in and he revived and came out. I'm sure a lot of people have done a lot of study to try and find an excuse as to why this happened. But as Bible-believing Christians, we're stuck with the facts that the Lord Jesus Christ brought back this man from the dead after he'd been there for 4 days. So what do people think today? What's the general thinking today on some of the issues of the world? I've got several points here that I'd like to share with you. First point is, there is no God. Again, I think if we were to do a survey here in Bendigo, a lot of people would tell us there is no God. There's no creator. Most of the people in Australia, around the world, would probably tell you there's no creator. There's no one to sustain us. There's no one holding the world together. There's no one holding us together. There's nobody to guide us. There's nobody to answer prayer. Now, we're praying that God will influence the council members down here on the council. Probably most of them, if not all of them, are not believers. But we're praying and asking God to move their hearts to allow us to build our building. But if there's no God, then there's no one to answer prayer. There's no one to sustain us. There's no creator. You know, people, the world, and the heavens got here by themselves. Totally unaided. Does anybody really believe that? That the the world and the universe, as large and as complicated as it is, came from nothing? Does anyone really, really believe that? I don't know, but I'd like to take a survey to find out. You know, people believe there's no heaven and there's no hell. There's no heaven to go to and there's no hell to avoid. There's no forthcoming or future judgment. Most people believe there's no forthcoming or future judgment. I mean, would you steal something from someone if you knew that there was a God who was going to hold you responsible at some point of time? Would you do that? People believe there's no life after death. This is it. You live, you're born, you live, you die, and that's it. However, a lot of people believe that everyone goes up somewhere and they watch and encourage us in our lives. And so someone will say, oh, my father who just passed away, he's up there encouraging me. Where's up there? If there's no heaven and there's no hell, where's up there? But a lot of people certainly believe that up there somewhere are their relatives watching and looking on. Eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die, is what a lot of people believe. What else isn't over until Jesus says it's over? Now, we've just looked at the general thinking of the population. People who don't believe there's a God, don't believe there's a heaven, don't believe there's a judgment, don't believe that there's anything to be concerned about once you die. You lose your loved ones, and that's very sad. But there's no evaluation on the other side. But we need to look at what else isn't over until Jesus says it's over. And the first one I've got written down here is Christ's return to gather his church, the rapture. Christ is going to return, the Bible says, and he's going to collect his church. We call it the rapture. And that hasn't happened. The Great Tribulation, the 7 years of torment for those nations that are left here after the church is taken away. The Bible's very clear on all of these points. The second coming of the Lord to the earth. The millennial kingdom, that 1,000-year reign. The final judgment. These are things that the Bible says are going to happen. These are things that Jesus said are going to happen. And they're going to happen because it isn't over until Jesus says it's over. And then we add this thought, what does it really matter what people think or believe anyway? What does it really matter what people that live in the world and in the earth think? Well, the answer is it doesn't matter what they think, because the Lord God is going to do what he wants to do, the way he wants to do it, whether we believe it or not. It isn't over until Jesus says it's over. You know, all the people around Lazarus believed that if Jesus had have been there, Lazarus would not have died. Mary and Martha also believed that he would be with Jesus in the resurrection. That comes out in verse 23. And I'm just going to read 23, 24, 25, 26 and 27 to you. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. You've got to remember, he's been in the tomb 4 days. Mary and Martha do not believe he's coming back. And so Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. I know there's coming a time when he is going to be raised up from the dead. So what did Jesus say unto her? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That quite remarkable words. Martha says he's going to be resurrected in the last day. Jesus said, no, I'm the resurrection. I'm the one that's going to be raising him up. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. That's really encouraging for those of us who have had loved ones pass on, pass over, because that's saying we will see them again. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. If we live and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will never die. He says, believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I believe, she says, that you're the one that we've been waiting for. You're the one who isn't coming to free us from the Romans, but you're coming to free us from death, coming into the world. And then back in verse 26, it says, believest thou this? And this is a challenge for us tonight. Do we believe those words? Have we been coming here for years because somebody brought us? Maybe our parents did, and we've sat here and we've listened to message after message and we've read our Bible. But do we really believe this? Do all of us sitting here tonight believe that it's possible to rise from the dead? Do we really, really believe? You know, once we, oh yeah, of course you believe it, you know, yeah, right. It's like when you say to someone, how are you? And they said, fine. And then you say, how are you really? You know, I'd really like to know how you are. Is, you know, yes, we believe it's possible to rise from the dead. Do we really? Do we really? Do we really believe that Jesus has power over physical death? Do we really believe that Jesus has power over physical death? Do we believe that Jesus has power over spiritual death? That though we were dead, we can still live again. Do we believe that? Now, I'm getting closer to that point than many of you. There are a few others in front of me, but not too many. And, you know, as I get older, as I live day to day, the thought of, you know, I'm going to die one day, am I really going to be with the Lord when I pass over? You know, when you're in your 20s, it's a long time to think about that. When you're in your 30s, it's 10 years less, but you still don't think about it. And when you're in your 70s, my father died at a younger age than I am. And I'm just wondering, I'm just thinking about these things. You know, does Jesus really have the power over spiritual death? That though we were dead, yet we can live again. If we believe in Jesus' finished work on the cross, we will never die. Do we really, really believe it? Let me leave you with those thoughts for now. So Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. and yet Jesus brought him back to life. That's not possible. That physically is not possible. Even in Star Trek or one of those movies in the future, they can't bring back somebody who's been dead for 4 days. But Jesus did it. Jesus did it. What does that mean? That means that God can do the impossible. Our God can do the impossible. You know, it isn't over until Jesus says it's over. Well, why did this whole event happen? Why did the Lord Jesus allow this to happen? It says that the Son of God might be glorified. Do you think after this monumental occasion, do you think Jesus was getting a lot of attention? Do you think the people that saw Lazarus walk out of there thought, wow, how did that happen? Who did this? Who had the authority to do this? It's interesting that the rulers of the time wanted to kill Lazarus because he was a problem. Now, how do you kill someone that's just come back from the dead after being dead 4 days? That's an interesting question, isn't it? That the Son of God might be glorified. So, what's our challenge tonight? What could we take home from this message tonight? I think the words that Jesus said when he said, "Believest thou this?" I think that's the message that we need to take home from this. You know, the question is, have I accepted the Lord Jesus as my personal Saviour and Lord? Can I think of an occasion when I trusted the Lord God? Can I think of a day or a date when I trusted the Lord? When I accepted him as my personal Saviour, when I said, all of my own efforts will not get me to heaven, but the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will, and I want to invite you into my heart to save me from my sin. Have I accepted the Lord Jesus as my personal Saviour and Lord? Can I think of a time? Do I trust that he has power over death for my soul? In this world, when people don't believe in God, when there's no heaven and there's no hell and the whole of what we call creation happened by mistake somehow with no help, do I trust that the Lord Jesus has power over the death of my soul? Do I trust him for that? Do I accept that the Bible is the Word of God, because all of these things are coming out of the Scriptures? They're all coming out of the Bible. Do I accept that the Bible is not only a good book, not only a well-written book, not only an accurate book, but it's God's Word? We won't get to heaven or to the other place and have God say to us, "Oh, there was a bit I didn't tell you. You know, I kept some things back from you." That's not going to happen. Every word in our Bible is true, and it's accurate, and it's there. Do I accept that Lazarus really rose from the dead after being dead for 4 days? Or have I conjured up an excuse as to how Jesus did that? Do I really accept that he was dead for 4 days? Do I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has power and authority over death? Power and authority over death. Do I really, really believe that? Am I trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross? Not trusting myself, not trusting anything that I've done, just trusting the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Do I trust that the Lord Jesus will finish all of those unfinished things that haven't happened yet? The tribulation and the rapture, and am I listening for a trumpet sounding, waiting to be taken up into the air to be with the Lord? If it came, would it, it's the wrong time. Well, it's the right time when it happens. It isn't over until Jesus says it's over. Thank you. Just going to close in a word of prayer and then we'll sing our closing hymn. Father God, I'm so thankful that we have a book, that we have a Bible that we can trust, that we can say this is every word that God wanted us to have. And whether people believe that you don't exist, or whether they believe that your creation happened by accident over millions of years, what they think is irrelevant, because you're the one that's going to be spelling out the steps. You're the one that's going to rapture the church, have the 7 years of tribulation, come back for the second coming and the judging of the nations, and then the 1,000-year reign and the devil, and all of those things that are prophesied in the word are going to happen exactly as you said. We're on the winning side. We've read the last few words of the last book. We know what's going to happen. I trust tonight that each person as they leave will say, yes, I know I'm saved. I know when I was saved. I know why I was saved. I know how I was saved. And we can rejoice and wake up tomorrow morning knowing that if that's our last heartbeat, we'll wake up with the Lord in heaven. I just thank you now for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.